What's up? This is Austin, pastor of the Gates Church. We have a great time meeting every Sunday at 10 a.m. at Flagship Cinema East Point. We would love for you to come out. Hope you enjoy this sermon. I hope the Lord blesses you. You consider and think about the resurrection. We'd love to see you next time. God bless you.
Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to get them out, crack them open, and we're going to turn to Luke chapter 24. This is one of the resurrection passages of Jesus. By the way, if you don't have one of these sheets, there's one in the back. Does anybody need a sheet? I'd love for everybody to get one of these papers that we have out today, but they're on the snack table if you want to go back there and grab one. But we're going to talk a little bit more today about the resurrection of Jesus. I want to spend 3 weeks. We're in the middle of this three-week series. We're calling it Don't Pity the Fools, which would be kind of a weird thing to talk about. I used to watch this show called The A-Team with my grandfather when I was a kid, and there was a really intimidating dude named Mr. T on the A-Team, and he would say, "I pity the fool," and usually he was talking about somebody he was about to hit or something like that. But what I mean with the title Don't Pity the Fools is that there's some kind of there's a bizarreness to Christianity. There's a unbelievableness to Christianity where the Bible we talked about last week, it says that those that don't believe, they see Christ, the cross, Christianity as foolishness. And to those who do believe, they see it as the power of God. So we were talking about how ultimately we may be fools to be pitied, but if the resurrection is true, you shouldn't pity the fools. So we want to continue to look at today this question: is the resurrection true? Is it a real thing? And I want to do something. I want to get a little interaction. I just want to be a little interactive today. So I have this phrase that I want to talk to say a few times. It's really the main point of what I want to say for about 20 or 30 minutes. And it's that Jesus rose from the dead. So I'm going to have you a few times answer me back when I ask you questions. If you believe it, even if you don't, you just want to say it, that's cool too. But on 1, 2, 3, I want to try us all at the same time to say these words behind me: because Jesus rose from the dead. Are you guys ready? 1, 2, 3, family, because Jesus rose from the dead. Yeah, that's pretty good. Let's try it again on 3. 1, 2, 3, because Jesus rose from the dead. Let me throw a few questions out here. How do I know that we will have eternal life with God? Family, because Jesus rose from the dead. Yeah, that's good. It's getting a little more lively. Why is our faith different from every other religion or world philosophy out there? Family, because Jesus rose from the dead. All right, why can I look to life's greatest troubles and have hope and joy? Because Jesus rose from the dead. All right, you guys are getting, let's keep going. How can I have real power from God? Because Jesus rose from the dead. All right, let's keep going. Two more. How do I know God loves me? Because Jesus rose from the dead. What makes God awesome? Because Jesus rose from the dead. That's not great grammar, but it's good theology. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God that became a man, that lived and died for us, showed us how to live, showed us how we are living imperfectly, sometimes against you, often against you, even to the point where you needed to die as a sacrifice, as an atonement. A sacrifice that was perfect on the cross, and we sang a song earlier, you paid it all, so we celebrate that about you. And today, Lord, here's our big prayer, Lord, you would stamp in our heart and in our mind the reality of the resurrection of Jesus. Lord, let that rest heavily on us today. Let it fill us with joy, excitement, and even power as we consider that you truly did rise from the dead. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. So, when I began my calling as a preacher, I know I look young. I look like I'm in my 20s. I've just snuck out of my 20s a little bit here. But about 15 years ago, I started theological education. I actually went to a school that exposed me to a lot of readers, writers, and professors and scholars that actually want to consider themselves Christians, but they actually want to take all of the supernatural things out of the Bible, including the resurrection of Jesus. So I went through quite a crisis in my late teens, early 20s, trying to figure out, did supernatural things really happen? Did Jesus really rise from the dead? And what I found, family, is that Jesus, I know that he's alive and well because he has met me and changed my life. He's taken me to different places. He's led me through the darkest times of my life. And I know that he's real because I have experienced him. But one thing I also found, there is some good reason to believe that Jesus really rose from the dead. In fact, the most explainable thing, the most reasonable thing to explain, I think, all things, but especially the history surrounding the church, surrounding the first century of the world, the Roman Empire, really history as we know it, the most reasonable thing to really believe is that Jesus truly did rise from the dead. And I want to show you a few things that I learned just from kind of a mind point of view that you really see prominent in Luke chapter 24. But what I really want us to just kind of see today is, again, Jesus rose from the dead. So I'm going to ask you these questions. We'll start with number one. And this may not make a lot of sense at first, but I hope to explain it a little bit, and I want to read it so that we can see it. Some really good stuff in this. So here's the first one. Why is there authentic testimony about the resurrection of Jesus? Why is there authentic testimony about the resurrection of Jesus? Family, the answer is because Jesus rose from the dead. There you go. You're with me. Let's start reading verse 1, chapter 24. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, by the way, authentic testimony, be it in newspapers or courtrooms, authentic testimony includes details like this. First day of the week, Sunday, by the way, this is why we meet on the first day of the week, Sundays, because this is when they discovered that they couldn't find the body of Jesus, that he had risen from the dead. So on the first day of the week, early dawn, they went into the tomb taking the spices they had prepared. So this is authentic testimony, because this is what happens when people die. When people die, people enshrine them. People bring spices. These are some people coming to kind of care for the body of Jesus, honor the body of Jesus. This would likely be what would happen when a famous person dies. This kind of thing happens. Jesus being really the most famous, most influential. Of course, there were people that would go to his body and try to take care of him. All right, we got to move a little quicker. Verse 2, they found the stone was rolled away from the tomb. Detail, verse 3, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, we'll come back to this. They're confused. We'll read through the story and we'll see that the early Christian leaders, it surprised them that Jesus rose from the dead. They didn't think it was really going to happen. They thought Jesus was just maybe kidding, or it was a pun or an allegory. So we find them confused, and that's an authentic piece of this testimony about the resurrection of Jesus. So they were perplexed. And the two men stood in dazzling apparel. These were angelic beings. They were frightened. They were scared. They bowed their faces to the ground, and the men said to them, these visitors that are visiting the body of Jesus, they're freaked out. They've seen these angels, and they fall to their face to the ground. And then the men say this, bottom of verse 5, why do you seek the living among the dead? I keep talking. He's not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. Verse 8, then they remembered. One thing that's really incredible about the Bible, and we could look at these in variety of places in the gospel, the early Christian leaders were weak. They didn't have faith that Jesus was really going to do. They were also scared. They were confused. And if a bunch of people were going to make up something like the resurrection of Jesus, why would they talk about how scared they were? Why would they talk about how confused they were? Well, it's because Jesus really rose from the dead, and they really were authentic leaders. Authentic leaders don't always have it together. Sometimes I get scared. Sometimes, you guys know, I get confused. And that's how leaders are, and that's authentic, and we have this authentic testimony. So they remembered, oh yeah, Jesus said he would rise from the dead. We thought he was kidding. Now verse 10 is really incredible. Who are these people? The people were, in verse 10, now it was Mary Magdalene, who's a woman, Joanna, who was a woman, and Mary, the mother of James, who was a woman, and other women, who told these things to the apostles, the Christian leaders. Now, verse 10 is really important because if you were going to make up a story about the resurrection of some dude and then try to create a religion that would make you get rich or whatever the supposed ideas of why someone would make up a resurrection, one thing you would never do is say that women went and discovered the missing body of Jesus. Because in this day and time, women could not even testify in court, because their words were not trusted. A woman, the most honored, revered woman, she could witness a man kill another man. And the thing is, that man who killed another man, for no reason at all, he would get off scot-free because their testimony would never hold up in court. Well, why would the Bible have all these women discovering the body of Jesus? Well, it had to be because it's authentic testimony, that it actually was women that first discovered the body of Jesus. Now, this is even further telling the great leader Peter, one of the first pastors, leaders of the early church. Listen to what he says in verse 11 and 12. But these words seem to them an idle tell, and they did not believe them. So they're as bad as their culture, right? We don't listen to women. We don't believe women. And that's quite an admittance, isn't it? That the early leaders, they were kind of wrapped up maybe in this sexist culture. We don't believe these women. This is crazy. So then these words seem to be an idle tell, and they did not believe them. Verse 12, but Peter rose up, and he ran to the tomb. It's a funny thing, in the Gospel of John writes his Gospel. He said he and Peter both ran to the tomb, and I like John because John just puts the little note out there, I beat Peter to the tomb. Like, I outran him to the tomb. So that you can check that out if you want to later. So they looked in, and Peter, he saw that the clothes were there, but the body of Jesus wasn't there, and he marveled at all that was going on. So there's this authentic testimony because Jesus rose from the dead. Number two, we'll go a little quicker. Here's a great question. This is probably the greatest question I'd love for you to go research in the world if you don't really believe in the resurrection of Jesus. But why can't anyone find the body of Jesus? Why can't anyone find the body of Jesus? The most influential person in all of the world, at this point, a seventh or more of the world, over a billion people worship Jesus as God. I mean, he is really influential. You have to ask questions like, would there be schools? Would there be hospitals? Would there be veterinarian clinics if it had not been for this influential man, Jesus, who taught about unparalleled mercy in the midst of a very hostile, crazy world, most influential man in the world, and we do not have, we can't find his body. So I was trying to remember. It seemed like Michael Jackson. Maybe you guys know who Michael Jackson is. A couple of us do. I was watching these videos online. You can check them out. There's quite a few about the where Michael Jackson's body is. Michael Jackson died, I think it was actually like 6 or 7 years ago. It seems like it was just a few months ago, doesn't it? That's kind of surprised me. But his body is laid to rest in this huge castle-looking things with these huge, beautiful stained glass windows in California somewhere. And even though it's been like 7 or 6 years, people are still going to this place. No one can go into his grave, but they put pictures of Michael Jackson. They do their best like moonwalk out there on the sidewalk. There's flowers everywhere, even 6 or 7 years later. Like, this is what people do, but they have not done it to Jesus, right? Because they can't find his body. So let's read a little bit. Verse 13, that very day two of them were going to a village named Emmaus. These are just some of the disciples. They're confused. They don't know Jesus. Where's Jesus' body? We can't find it. So they're about 7 miles from Jerusalem. It's pretty much the desert. They're just kind of praying, wondering, trying to figure out what in the world's going on. So they were walking and talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. He started walking with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. So Jesus is a physical person. He's a human, but he is a glorified human. He is also Jesus, and he is able to conceal his identity, apparently. I don't know if he like changes his face or just their minds or what's going on, but somehow he conceals his identity, and they don't know that it's Jesus. So he said to them, Jesus said to them, what is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. They're sad, they're confused, they don't know what's going on, they didn't believe Jesus said he was going to rise from the dead, they didn't really believe it. they say this to this Jesus, who they think is just a man. Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? One thing we can pull from that is in Jerusalem, where Jesus was crucified, where he lived, where he did a lot of his ministry, where he rose from the dead. Like, everybody knows about Jesus. I mean, he is making quite a commotion in the world at that time. Everyone knows about him. The Roman government is afraid that maybe there's going to become even a war over this man Jesus. So they appeased kind of the religious leaders that wanted him dead. So there's all these political aspects, there's these cultural aspects, there's these religious aspects. Everyone has had their eye on Jesus, and they know about his crucifixion. It is an incredible, important thing. And ultimately, the point that why I'm saying all that is that if there was a body, there would be so much commotion about it. They would have found the body of Jesus. And at any point, they could have shut down the Christian movement by pulling up the body of Jesus. Rome would have wanted to do this. The Jewish leaders surrounding the event of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus, if they wanted to shut down the movement of Jesus, they could have pulled up the body of Christ. They said, hey, this is the body of Christ, right? He is dead. He is not alive. But here's the problem, family. The Roman government, the Jewish government, they could not find the body of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead. So one of them named Cleopas answered him, you're the only one in visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know about the things that have happened here. The guys, Jesus playing dumb. What things? Then they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, the man was a prophet mighty indeed. So this person doesn't really even fully get who Jesus is. He will once he fully understands and embraces that Jesus rose from the dead and is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The word before God and all people, and how our chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. So this person is even not really confessing Jesus as King of Kings. He's saying, oh, it seems like Jesus pretty much failed. He died, and now we can't find his body. He also says this. He lets Jesus know about these women that we talked about earlier, verse 22. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. So we can't find the body of Jesus. For 2,000 years, we have not found the body of Jesus. We know where the body of all major philosophers, all major religious leaders, we know where the father of Judaism is, Abraham. We know where he lives. We know where he's at rest. We know Muhammad, the leader of Islam. We know where his body is laid to rest. We know where Buddha's body is. There's huge shrines built around it. That's what people do when amazing, famous, influential people die. They build temples on top of it. They build shrines. But there is not a shrine to Jesus. There is not a grave to Jesus, because we do not have the body of Jesus, because Jesus really rose from the dead. Number three, why does Scripture expect a forever reigning king? And of course, the answer is, family, because Jesus rose from the dead. So this Jesus, he's in disguise. He's going to teach these dudes something. So he starts doing this in verse 25. He said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, really the Old Testament scripture as we know it, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus is actually does a little Bible study with the people. He disguises himself. They don't know that it's Jesus. But Jesus does an Old Testament Bible study, and he points how all of the Old Testament was really pointing toward him, a king. He went to passages like Isaiah and Daniel and the Psalms that speak of this king that would come from the line of David that would rule forever. Now, this makes absolutely no sense to the people in Jesus' context, because David's lineage, his descendants, they are not king. There is no king of Israel. Rome is king. And it certainly doesn't make any sense to us, because 2,000 years later, there still is no king of Israel from David's descendants, except for Jesus, because Jesus rose from the dead, like the scriptures say that he would, and he reigns forever. So we if we thought about it, in Jesus' day, there was probably like a Jesus' day Michael Jackson. Can you imagine that? He probably just played the flute or something. He probably didn't have the sweet pop hits and the dances that Michael Jackson had. But there was probably some famous musician in Jesus' day. But we actually don't even know anyone's name that played music in Jesus' day because it's been so long. It's been 2,000 years. Now, soon enough, I'd say 100 years, we'll barely remember the name of Michael Jackson, right? We kind of remember like Elvis. He's pretty cool. We still got, that was like 60 plus years ago. I mean, he was the man, right? But eventually we'll forget him, the king of rock. We'll forget the king of pop. But this world will never forget the king of kings, Jesus, because Jesus rose from the dead and lives forevermore. Here's another question. How could the early followers of Jesus boldly proclaim the resurrection of Jesus even unto their death? And what that question means is that time and time again, actually for 1,000 years, but really if we look closely at the time just after Jesus, people were constantly being killed because they claimed to follow this man Jesus, and they passionately claimed that this man Jesus rose from the dead. And so often, that's the very thing that they would be asked to recant, you know, to say it wasn't true. They would be burned. They would be sawed in half. They would be crucified like Jesus. They would be thrown into pits with lions. And all they had to do to avoid these terrible murders would say, I don't believe in Jesus. He didn't rise from the dead. But time and time again, there are these that boldly proclaim Jesus, boldly proclaim his resurrection, and it got them killed. So why would people make up the resurrection of Jesus when all they really had to gain was their own kind of gory, terrible death? So let's read here in Luke. It says, they drew near to the village. This is Jesus and these two people. They don't know that he's Jesus yet. So they were going back to the village where they were going. Jesus, he acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now is far spent. Maybe you'll stay with us. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose and at the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they followed the 11 and those who were staying with them gathered together, saying, and this is the bold proclamation that we're talking about here with this point, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. So these people are boldly proclaiming that Jesus is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, that he rose from the dead. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead. Here's number five. Why is the idea that hallucination, that they hallucinated, incredibly stupid? That's kind of number five. So, like I said, I was under some teaching and had to read a lot of stuff about people that say the resurrection of Jesus didn't happen. And they bend over backwards trying to think of a way that because there's a burden to prove to any skeptic that the resurrection of Jesus didn't really happen. It's their burden to prove. History, it's really the only thing that actually fits and makes sense of all that went on. So they do stuff like, Jesus had a twin brother, right? You know, and Jesus is on the cross. The twin brother is like, hey, you know, I'm okay. And, you know, there's another one that's like, Jesus just kind of sneaks away and maybe he has like a family in Europe and just disappears. Well, that makes zero sense. How does the most influential man in all of history just disappear and we never see another sign of him? There's, of course, the religion that believes that it was Judas that somehow ended up on the cross. And again, I guess Jesus escapes and goes somewhere. And then all of those have more loopholes and problems than I care to explain. All those scenarios actually take more blind faith to believe than just to believe that Jesus actually rose from the dead. Let me clarify on that fact a little bit. I actually believe that Christianity does require faith. You have to believe it. There's some unbelievable things. But it is the most reasonable reasonable, logical, really clear worldview that's out there. Every other worldview, be it atheism or whatever someone's kind of made up on their own, those things all take more blind faith to believe when you really think through them than this stuff of Christianity. And it really centers around the reality that Jesus rose from the dead. But I think Luke writes us this story in Luke to really show us that Jesus wasn't a spirit and he wasn't a hallucination. So as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself, I'm in verse 36, he stood among them and he said to them, "Peace be to you." I love this because it says they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit, thought they saw a ghost. So Jesus, resurrected Jesus, he seems to have this glorified body. It may even actually reflect what it'll be like in heaven when we have a glorified body. And I love Jesus because you know he does all things for a purpose and a reason. So he just jumps up in the middle of a room, just appears. He's like, "Peace be to you," right? And like everybody's like, "Whoa, gosh, it's a ghost," you know? Like, so Jesus is maybe even like doing a prank here. I love it. It's great. So he wants them to know that he's real. So he said to them, "Why are you troubled?" Like, that was because I just jumped out of the middle of air and scared you to death. Why are you troubled? And why do your doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands, see my feet. And it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. See, we needed a real human Jesus to really die a real human death on the cross, so that he could be a real human sacrifice, a perfect lamb to cover our sins. So when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, verse 41. While they were still disbelieved for joy, they were marveling. And he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" You guys ever wonder why like all the fish sandwiches come on the menus at Arby's and even Chick-fil-A? I guess it's because Jesus ate a fish around Easter time. And so we should too, I guess. Verse 42, they gave him a piece of broiled fish and he took it and ate it before them. So we live in Baltimore, and many of us have heard stories of people hallucinating, right? And just seeing things. Like, we all have plenty of stories. I see some smiles coming on people's faces because we have people that get into certain substances, and they come, and they have seen, like, wild horses running through the street, or they have seen space monkeys coming in and, like, taking their food. And we would just laugh at that and say, "Oh, that's ridiculous." And here's one reason we would do that. It would start to freak us out if maybe like if a bunch of people had all the same vision, the same hallucination, and they're sharing that there are space monkeys in my attic and like this person in this house, and they all have the same hallucination. But guess what? That never happens. But the claim that some people make is that all of these people are having a hallucination. And we read last week that over 500 people had testimonies about Jesus being risen from the dead 30 years after Jesus had rose from the dead. And so the claim of hallucination actually says that 500 people all had the same hallucination about Jesus. He's risen from the dead. Well, of course, what the point is that that's not true. And the truth is what? That Jesus really rose from the dead. So these people were simple, but they became scholars, verse 6. What empowered these simple people to become scholars? You know what I mean? These were fishermen. These were tax scoundrels. These were people that used to be possessed by demons. But they didn't even know how to read. But after they saw Jesus rise from the dead, they all became incredible scholars arguing for the gospel. So verse 44, he said to them, "These are my words. These are the words that I spoke to you while I was with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then listen to this. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead." So how is it that all these simple people, blue-collar people, criminal people, went from really simple lives, not being really smart, not able to argue about stuff, to being incredible scholars that wrote books, that wrote letters, that totally transformed the entire culture of the entire world? How did that happen? It must have been that Jesus really rose from the dead. It's the most reasonable thing to see. Number 7, why would billions of people over the years believe and celebrate that they are depraved and sinful? Look at the rest of this saying. I'll read 46 again. So Jesus said to them, "This is written, the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, that repentance," verse 47, and "for forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem." So there's a unique thing in the scripture. Really, let's pretend we maybe give up this church planting thing and we just want to make a school. And our number one entrance idea is that if you want to come to this school, I don't know if it's a college or elementary school, like you come to the college and the first thing we do is we tell you, you are incredibly unsmart. You are not able to think at all. You can't spell. You can't do anything. Like, you are not a good person at all. You're not going to be able to do school. That would be a really bad way to start school, wouldn't it? Or what if we opened up a restaurant and we met everyone in the door that came through the restaurant? You are not able to eat. Like, you eat bad stuff. You eat nasty stuff. You'll never be able to eat the stuff that's in here. You're a nasty, bad eater kind of thing. What if we tried to start a restaurant? Would that work? No way. What if you tried to start a religion and your main upfront thing is, we're all sinners and doomed to go to hell, right? We've sinned. And we're all bad, we're depraved, there's worse, there's wickedness. Like, that's our front door to our religion. Would that be a great way to make up a religion? It makes no sense to make up a religion unless that is true. And Jesus rose from the dead, and he called us to go out and preach a message that starts with, hey, we are all broken people in need of restoration from Jesus. And the good news is this, that Christ died to restore us. And not only that, but he also rose from the dead. So why is our front door sin? How has that worked? Why is there a billion people that believe this? There's a funny thing. This is just funny. I don't want to share it, but I went to a peep show this week. Yeah, I saw some hands. So you know, like little Easter peeps, like the little ducks, and rabbits and things. So it's a big like art exhibit. I have some pictures on my phone I'd show you. And it's called the Peep Show, but it's all this art made from little peeps. But I of course had some kind of joke that was not probably the joke that most preachers could make or should make to my wife about a peep show. We were going to a peep show, and her response to me was, "You're a wicked sinner," you know? And so there's an odd thing where that's funny in our house, because the reality is we know it's true. Because we believe the gospel is true. Because Jesus really rose from the dead. And the only way that the faith would go on for 2,000 years and continue to work while we still want to do something like this in a movie theater is because the gospel is true, even though it's not popular to believe that. Hopefully I made that point. That was a little hard. So we're going to preach repentance in Jerusalem, verse 48. "You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." He follows up with this. We're going to look at it later in the book of Acts. Really exciting how he sends the people out. He's sending us out as the Gates Church to be a church in the community for Colgate. We really want to bless that place and share this good news with them. But here's our eighth point. We'll wrap up with this. It's a good, great question too. Why do people worship Jesus as God with joy? And the truth here is there are even biological, the biological brothers and sisters of Jesus even died worshiping Jesus as God. They worshiped him to the point that they would even give their life for him. Why do they do that? Well, it must have been, family, because Jesus rose from the dead. Let's read these last three verses. "So he led them out as far as Bethany on a little hiking trip. He lifted up his hands. He blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up to heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy." They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. So why is there authentic testimony about Jesus rising from the dead? Why can anyone find the body of Jesus? Why did Scripture predict that there would be a forever reigning king? How could the early followers of Jesus boldly proclaim the resurrection and even die for it? Why is all the ideas of hallucination and different things that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, how is it stupid? Why? What empowered these simple people to become scholars that changed the world? Why would billions of people continue to embrace the doctrine of sin? Why do people worship Jesus as God with joy? Because he rose from the dead. So on my way to here to set up, I was in the big, we call it the big blue van or something like that. So I'm driving, and out of nowhere, the craziest thing happened to me this morning, all right? Out of nowhere, this huge stone, maybe weighing like thousands of pounds. I mean, it came across a hill out of nowhere. It just, I don't know if it fell from the sky, but it came in, and this stone rolled into my car, trashed my car in half, threw me from the car onto the ground. I slid across the pavement on the highway. And then, you know, that rock, that big stone, it rolled somewhere else into the water, and it popped back, so it blew up. And that thing rolled back on top of me. It rolled over me, and then it fell, and it got better. Then finally, some people came, and they helped get this huge stone off of me. Do any of you guys believe that? And I'll tell you why. Here's the main reason. Because if a huge stone rolls on top of you, you'll look different. You'll look different than this anyway. But I want you to know, if you really believe that the stone of Jesus' tomb rolled away and Jesus rose from the dead, you too will look different. Because Jesus truly rose from the dead. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we love you. We ask you to bless us, help our minds as we consider.
We hope you've enjoyed this audio sermon from the Gates Church. We are a church that exists to gather people in the name of Jesus to change our world. We very much value life groups. This is a time where Christians come together to fellowship and learn and share with friends about Jesus. We would love for you to get involved in one if you would like to. Please email me, Pastor Austin, at austin@thegateschurch.com. That's Austin, AUSTIN, @thegateschurch.com if you'd like to get involved in a life group. Have a great day. God bless.